I wonder if you, like me, are a fan of spy movies. Films that are full of espionage, danger, and thrills. I've always been a fan of a certain British spy. Though I sometimes find the older movies a little bit more difficult to watch these days because of some of the attitudes that prevailed at the time. I'm also a fan of the Mission Impossible series. The movie The Saint, though I confess I never watched the television series. But perhaps my favorite spy film is called Spy Games and stars Robert Redford and Brad Pitt. It features a senior CIA agent played by Redford mentoring a young protege. And the movie spans at least a decade and features a betrayal. And I'm giving the movie away here, but it's still worth watching. But it features a betrayal where Redford has Pitt's love interest picked up and arrested by a foreign government. The movie, while packed with spy jargon and action, centers on Pitt's willingness to forgive Redford. And his willingness to forgive extends so far that he trusts Redford with the plan which will eventually save and rescue his love interest. It's all very well done and it feels very satisfying by the end. But through the center of this spy film is a message of forgiveness, which runs right down the middle of it. And I find that rather compelling. Secret agents and spies, it's all rather exciting. They go out into dangerous territory looking for clue, or to seek a lost item that might restore peace, or at least the balance of power, which is why a young Alec Baldwin playing Jack Ryan goes looking for a missing Soviet-era sub in the middle of the North Atlantic, the only sub in the Russian fleet whose commander possesses a flawless Scottish accent, and whose actor was once a dashing British spy. You see how it comes full circle. But in our scripture lesson this morning, Luke is not advocating that we all go out and become secret agents. That's not what Jesus is trying to tell us with this parable. But he does tell us a parable about going out and looking for that which is lost. When a sheep is missing, the owner goes out and finds it. And that's an interesting point. The parable doesn't say that when the sheep is missing, that the owner sends the shepherd, the hired hand, out to find it. It's the owner who goes out to find the sheep. And when the sheep is found, there is a celebration. And the owner invites his friends to come and to celebrate. Jesus equates that lost sheep to a sinner who repents. And the comparison that Jesus is making is not lost on us. We are sinners, and when we confess and repent, God rejoices. I could probably finish the sermon here, and you would all get the point, and if it was still hot like it was last week, maybe I would. But the weather broke, and so I'm going to go on. Jesus is telling us to be honest with ourselves, to confess before God, and all will be well. And yes, I could finish there. But I think that if I did, quite honestly, we would lose out on something. We all understand the comparison that Jesus was making between a lost sheep and a sinner. We get it. This isn't a parable that goes over our heads. It doesn't leave us wondering what we missed, like seeing what seems to happen with the disciples so often. This one we get, which means we probably should dig a little bit deeper into what Jesus is telling us to understand the value of that which is lost. What I find interesting about this parable is that it is situated and told between two groups of people, we learn that Jesus has started hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. He's having a meal with them today. And that the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling about it. Now, we should note that in our previous chapter and the previous Sundays, Jesus has been having meals with Pharisees. And now he's switched company and he's with the sinners. And the Pharisees, they grumble. Now, in the Greek, the word grumble implies ongoing action. So the Pharisees are not just grumbling once. They are continuing to grumble, which means Jesus is probably having more than one meal with tax collectors and sinners. So we have our two groups, sinners and Pharisees. The Pharisees saw themselves as righteous and were upset about what Jesus was teaching, about how he was teaching and healing, mainly because he was putting them in a bad light. And the sinners were intrigued because in Jesus, they were able to receive something that seemingly had been denied to them, and that was forgiveness. What intrigues me about this story is that both the sinners and the Pharisees are lost. They are both missing out on the fullness of God's kingdom and God's plan. However, it is only the sinners who seem to realize this. A powerful message to those who are on the inside looking out, that often we need to look at ourselves and assess our own situations. That no matter who we are all in need of forgiveness. Now Jesus, who is clearly talking with the tax collector and sinners group, in telling his parable, does not point fingers and say they have it wrong and you have it right. Jesus is not interested in putting anyone into categories. Instead, he accepts people as they are, and he works to draw them closer to himself so that he can share about God and he can tell them that forgiveness is available. In fact, God does desire to forgive and to restore the relationship with us. In this way, finding something that is lost is about more than going out and looking. Yes, that is a part of searching for that which is lost. We must go out and find it, which is why we are commanded to go out into the world. Why the disciples were told that they would be fishers of men. Because Jesus seeks to challenge and change our lives, to draw us towards righteousness. In searching for something which is lost, we invariably discover something about ourselves. And often what we discover is that which we are looking for is right there with us all along. Paulo Coelho's book, The Alchemist, illustrates this point rather poignantly. Very often, when we go looking for something, we do discover something about us. Sometimes, we realize that it is us who is lost. Sometimes we realize that. Of course, sometimes we don't. In his book, Setting Words on Fire, Putting God at the Center of the Sermon, it's an academic book, Paul Scott Wilson, professor of preaching at Emmanuel College at the University of Toronto, tells this story. And it's a story that's told to him by another minister, but he relays it. Alan came to me at my previous church in Hamilton, wanting to be baptized. He was a child or victim of the me decade, and felt compelled to leave home and family to find himself, and of course, in the process, lost himself, becoming a stranger to himself and to the world, wandering the streets of Vancouver, trapped in a world of drugs. And one night, he managed to get off the street for a night in one of the shelters. He crashed into the bunk, staring up at the ceiling, listening to the groans, and trying not to be overcome by the odors of the strangers in the bunks around him. He did not know where he was. He did not know who he was. But he wanted it to be over. And he considered how he might take his own life. He was shaken out of his thoughts when someone came in and called out a name from another world. Is Alan Roberts here? That had been his name once, but he hadn't heard it for some time. He hardly knew Alan Roberts anymore. It couldn't be him being called. The caller persisted. Is there anybody named Alan Roberts here? No one else answered. And so Alan took a risk. I'm Alan Roberts, or I used to be. Your mom's on the phone. My mother. No, Alan thought, you've made a mistake. I don't know where I am. How could my mother know where I am? If you're Alan Roberts, your mother's on the phone. Unsure what to expect, he went to the desk in the hall and took the receiver. Alan, it was his mother. It's time for you to come home. Mom, I don't know where I am. I have no money. You don't know what I'm like anymore. I can't go home. It's time for you to come home. There's a Salvation Army officer who's coming to you with a plane ticket. He's going to take you to the airport to get you home. She hadn't known where he was. She just called every shelter and hostel for months until she found him. He went home and supported and loved by his mother, who had never ceased to know him, even though he had forgotten himself, and influenced and inspired by the faith that had sustained his mother's hope and love, he began attending church services and one day came to the office seeking to be baptized. He did not find his own way to the office. A path not of his own making was made by the love that found him, that knew him better than he knew himself, and invited him to follow me. A powerful story about searching for that which is lost. About recognizing how each of us in our own way is also lost, and in need not only of God's love, but of love from one another. In the parable, Jesus tells us that when the sheep was found, the owner rejoiced and then invited the community to come and rejoice with him. We should also rejoice and celebrate the work of the kingdom that goes into bringing the lost home, when we share the good news that is found in God's forgiveness. Perhaps you might like to be a secret agent this week and lead someone who is lost towards God. Most importantly, take time this week to ask God's forgiveness and to also recognize the ways that you may be lost. Amen.